Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big-time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
What's going on, everybody? Back from a bit of a hiatus. Feels great to be back on the air. Sean Wally with you here, normally joined by Sean Boyd, but filling in dutifully tonight. That is former On the Double guest, former Oregon Duck football player, a happy man we know, David Massey. David, thanks for joining us tonight.
David's on here, too.
David, do we have you? He's out there somewhere. Hopefully he'll join us here shortly, but that is the voice of big-time guest number one tonight, also a former Oregon Duck center on the basketball team, Brett Coffey. Brett, thanks for your time tonight.
No problem. Appreciate you having me on.
Hey, well, thank you so much for your time, your insight tonight, and let's get straight to it. The Oregon Ducks in the Final Four, first time since forever, first time in most of our lifetime. How does it feel right now?
Definitely our lifetime since 35, 39 since it first started.
Correct, 1939, I believe, and I know I wasn't around then, and definitely you weren't either.
Oh, no, Levy wasn't around, definitely around, but when we got to campus, we did see the posters and all the trophies about the first NCAA champion ever, so we do know the history.
What does it mean to you, and what does it say about the program of how far the Oregon Duck basketball program has come?
To me, it's a major accomplishment that has caught up, actually, with the football program, which made major strides when I was there. I see how they build each year got better and better, and I got to see, you know, they love to reap the awards now. Basketball has done the same thing. It took a little bit longer, but it just takes time. When you build a winning program, you have to build one brick at a time, and they've done a great job at it. I'm happy to see them.
How much do the two intertwine, you think, the success of the football program spilling over into now great success in basketball?
Big. I mean, when one makes it big and the other one comes along, it helps with recruiting, it helps with the exposure, it helps with the recruitment of the most important, because when you see both sports doing so well, it gets a lot of TV play, it gets a lot of exposure, a lot of media, everything falls on that for all year round. It's a lot. It's big for the school.
I think David has joined us. David Massey, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Awesome, David. Welcome to the show. Thanks for filling in for Sean tonight, and hopefully you've heard a little bit about what Brett has had to say, and go ahead and ask Brett a question.
Oh, well, one thing, you know, man, and especially, you know, me knowing Brett from way back in the day, one thing that I would like really like him to speak to is just how different the entire atmosphere, especially he played in Mack Court and now going down to Matthew Knight Arena. And I know back in the day, Mack Court, it was a dominating presence, but I know Matthew Knight Arena also has its own unique, kind of unique things about it, too.
I mean, for the times that we played back in the day, even as David knows them, even Austin Stadium, I mean, we played, you could say, in caveman status compared to the amenities they have now. I mean, it's just so much more money's put out in everything. They have everything at their beck and call. Everything is hand-given to them that it's different, because back then, all was just us and the students. And it was just so close that we loved the personalization. So Knight Court is like that, but it's not as like the Pit. The Pit was great because everybody was on top of us. You could talk to the crowd because they was that close. Now, with much more money being in play, you see a lot more boosters, courtside, and so forth, which is fine. Don't get me wrong, but I just like that more of the students. That's who really come to see you play and perform for the better.
Oh, yeah. Hey, also, Brett, you know, and you can speak to this, too. Remember how hot Mack Court used to be? And back then, that was also an advantage. It'd be about 110 degrees in that place.
If the windows wasn't open, it was going to be steamy. There was no air conditioning in the building at all. So, it's just so different. There was no Lynn Casanova Center for any of that pregame meal and all that other stuff like it is nowadays. It was fun though. You know, we didn't have a lot, but we made fun out of what we had.
Oh, exactly.
Well,
and in fact, I think that's also part of the reason why there's kind of a different mentality. While I think, you know, both football and basketball, they have some spectacular athletes. But the one thing that I know I've observed, you know, especially, you know, I would say up until now with the basketball team, is that there really was no hunger, no edge. And like I said, but I'm glad to see that the basketball team, they kind of overcame that stigma.
Oh, yeah, they overcame a big time. Because, like, we don't have nothing, and you get just a little bit, you appreciate it that much more that you know how hard you have to work to get it again. So once they saw the football team doing so well because they worked hard, they said, okay, well, if we want what they got, we got to start working harder just to, you know, get their car, get their uniforms, get their shoes. We got to work just as hard as they working. So, you know, it goes hand in hand. If you don't work hard, you ain't going to get nothing. So.
Exactly.
And having Phil Knight as your uncle don't hurt at all.
And he has done an amazing job upgrading the facilities all over University of Oregon. And Brett, David and I had a chance a few years ago to work a men's basketball game for CBS Sports against Arizona, and that arena was rocking. Matthew Knight was packed. It was an amazing atmosphere, and that's got to help those guys play ball very well. They were 17-0 at home this year.
Yeah, I mean, a couple years ago, I went to a couple games. I was able to sit courtside, and it was just the atmosphere was great. I mean, it was wonderful. I mean, the fans were supportive. The kids were yelling and screaming. I mean, right there on the court, the players were playing hard. The coaches were into it. I mean, the atmosphere at halftime was great to me when I got to talk to a couple of boosters. Like, oh, I remember you, and seen a couple of other football players that came back. Seen Ed Dixon was there, and I was like, okay, this is nice. I mean, it was real nice. I mean, so, you know, when you do work hard and you see the rewards afterwards, it makes you appreciate it even that much better.
How do you think the Ducks have to attack North Carolina to have a chance Saturday night?
To be honest, speed. They've got to go faster because they beat Kansas because Kansas always had really one true big man, Landon Lucas, you know, which his father's a good friend of me and Dave. So North Carolina has three or four big men. So they've got to run. They've got to run the big men in the ground. If not, I mean, because you're not going to win the battle of the boards with this one just with Bell by herself. They've got to run them in the dirt. That's all they can do. You know, they've got a good chance today because they do well, run well, and they shoot well. They just got to keep that mentality, you know, because they have to play defense too.
You know, also, I'll tell you, the other thing that I saw also this weekend in that Kansas game, there was a period when Kansas cut the game to six, but you could tell that when Oregon, they got a rebound, they changed the tempo of the game and went right back to playing their game. And that's kind of the same thing, you know, it's like I hope this weekend, you know, that they go out and they play their tempo game and play up-tempo and put the pressure on North Carolina.
Yeah, because when they play against North Carolina, they can't play a half-court. Half-court game, they're going to get killed. They don't match up well. I mean, Carolina has big guards, and they've got big men down low. And you look on the bench, they've got All-Americans on the bench waiting, you know, come in as well. So they have to play up and down, stay in the focus, stay with the shooting the threes, the slashing. You know, nobody gets selfish, pass the ball. Who's ever open, take a shot. They have to keep that mentality. Don't change your game plan just because you're on a bigger stage. You got to stay the same. Stay how you got there. Play the way you got there, you'll be doing fine.
Now, Brett, after your college career, you got to experience international basketball in Europe. What was that transition like for you?
You know, the first two or three months was very different because being in a different country, you got to understand that you're not in America, and it's a rude awakening, but it's a pleasant one because you get to see so much of the different cultures. So when I left and I went there, so my first year, I said I was in Israel. I've never been in a country where everybody had the same religion, which was strange, but it was fine come holiday time. But you have to change your eating habits, you have to change your culture, the way you speak to people and things like that because it's a different language. But all in all, you have to become one of them, which is, you know, it was pretty fun because I got to stay with a couple families over there, eat dinner with them, hang out with them on the weekends and so forth. You know, I pretty enjoyed my time overseas. I liked Europe a lot. It was fun.
Brett, who have been people that have helped influence you throughout your school days on through college, whether it be coaches, mentors?
I would probably say a lot of times my junior college coach. I spoke to him quite a lot when I left Oregon. From time to time, I would speak back with him. And when I got to Oregon, I would say usually a lot of the older players, like Anthony Taylor, he helped me come through a lot. And then as I left that, I was just like, I would talk to Dave Massey. I'd talk to Dave and a lot of other players, see what they were doing, see how they were focused on their lives, what they were going through, just to keep their camaraderie. Because once you're a duck for life. You stay in that family. So you stay with their family, keep their family, everybody else, everybody, communicate, try and get back to each other. That's what I look towards.
All right, Brett Fore, this big game Saturday night against North Carolina, you've got to be thinking the Ducks can pull this out, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, anything can happen. You have to play the game, so anything can happen. I'm thinking that if they do what they're supposed to do, they keep the scores. There's got to be a high-scoring game for them to win. It can't be a slow-down, knockout, drag-out fight. We won't win that. We won't win anything as it's going like trudging through the trenches in the mud. It's got to be a race. So the points have to be in the 70s and 80s. If we get in the 70s and 80s, we got a good chance of winning.
Well, they're definitely playing great ball right now, and it's a great time to be a Duck. Brett Coffey, thanks so much for your time and insight tonight. Glad we could get you and David Massey back together for just a few minutes here on the Double.
No problem. Appreciate you guys having me. You guys have a good time, and go Ducks.
There goes Brett Coffey back in Nebraska, spending this past weekend at the NCAA tournament games. He has videos up on Facebook of the Oregon Ducks, and they are getting set for their battle with North Carolina. 5:49 p.m. estimated start time, West Coast on Saturday night. The Tar Heels and the Ducks. Welcome in big-time guest number two. That is Matt Santangelo, former Gonzaga Bulldog. Matt, thanks for your time tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. You could have gotten a commercial. I know how important those things are.
Well, that's quite all right. You are more important. We will get straight to it. How excited are you to be a Bulldog and United We Zag as they are going to the Final Four for the first time in ever?
Well, you know, it's really, really overwhelming. I don't really think I knew what that, you know, how it would impact me. I get to do the radio broadcast for the team now and been with them, gosh, 6 out of the last 7 seasons in that capacity. And it was really, really emotional. You know, just so proud, you know, so excited, just kind of humbled to be, you know, to have played a role and still be involved. Really, really special moment. And I just don't think they're quite done yet.
Well, they definitely had an amazing game against Xavier. That game was very rarely in question, maybe close early on, but it didn't take too long for the Bulldogs to put the throttle down, as you saw firsthand, as you said, on the radio broadcast. Now, over the years, has Coach Mark Few changed at all or stayed consistent to his beliefs and how he coaches the team?
You know, I think consistency is a great word when you describe Coach Few. I don't think he's changed much from, you know, really the days when he was, you know, a grad assistant and then the assistant coach when I started my career at GU. His values have never been sacrificed. You know, he's certainly developed and grown as a coach, the technical side, you know, the team building side, you know, the management side. But as far as values and integrity, he's always been, you know, kind of just a consistent example for everyone that's been around him.
What do you think he's telling this team as they continue this run and they're playing the biggest basketball games of their lives to this point?
Well, you know, I think it's very similar to the last question. I think, you know, this group has been tremendously, you know, focused throughout the year. There's a lot of places, even, you know, depending on what you feel about the West Coast Conference and their level of competition, you know, there are some challenges as well as being heavily favored in every game. And this group has done a great job all year long of taking it one game at a time, you know, really, really focusing both intentionally, articulating about getting better each and every week. And so they've really kind of built some great habits throughout the year that I think kind of lend themselves to being successful this week because of the increased spotlight, the increased attention, the increased media. You know, they just kind of go about their business. And I think because of, you know, how they've grown throughout the year, I really do think they have a good foundation to be able to handle kind of all that increased scrutiny that happens this week.
Now, Matt, as a former player, you have an idea of what these guys are going through. Of course, you didn't get to the Final Four, but how do you think the players themselves mentally get ready and not overhype this game?
Well, you know, I think this group more so than, you know, past Gonzaga groups, you know, they've always said the goal was to get to the Final Four and play for a national championship. You know, they, you know, each year, I mean, I'm sure every team, when they hit campus in the fall, they, you know, they write down their goals, and it's, you know, preseason tournament championship, conference championship, conference tournament championship, you know, and then they say, you know, and March Madness, you know, the NCAA tournament, where this group has really kind of outlined, say, hey, you know, Final Four, we want to play for a national championship. So this is something that's been, it's not as if they just kind of, you know, got hot at the right time or the momentum's on their side. I mean, this is something that these guys have put in the work, put in the time, you know, to get here. So I think, you know, that alone is going to keep them focused. And then I think that alone is also going to keep them, you know, not satisfied. You know, they're not satisfied with just a Final Four appearance. There's still more, you know, more to do and more to accomplish.
How special is Nigel Williams-Gass?
That's a great question. He's special in a lot of different ways. You know, he obviously is a tremendous player. He fills the stat sheet. He really has a good feel for the you know, time and place of when to attack, when not to attack. But I think the most kind of impressive thing about him is his leadership. You know, he's been that way in every game, be it a 30-point blowout or you know, a possession by possession ball game. You know, he's the one bringing guys together. He's the one getting them to really focus in on that defensive stop when they need it. You know, he's the one to kind of, you know, he chose Gonzaga for a reason. You know, and that could be said for all the guys. You know, Jonathan Williams III, Jordan Matthews, those big-time transfers. You know, those incoming freshmen, they came to Gonzaga for a reason. And that was to have an opportunity to play in the Final Four and compete for a national championship. And I think Nigel's been just a great ambassador, but I think it's his focus, you know, his work ethic, his attention to detail that really helps just keep everyone on task, I guess. You know, not that there's a lot of good guys that are responsible and stay on task, but, you know, he seems to have kind of developed as the leader and the example in that case.
South Carolina on deck Saturday for the Zags, a 3:09 West Coast start. First game of the Final Four. What do you think Gonzaga has to do to get past number 7 seed South Carolina?
Well, I think, you know, obviously South Carolina is on an incredible run, and that's all fine and good. But you know, when you play Coach Martin's teams, Frank Martin, you know you're getting some tough dudes, man. You're getting some guys that play hungry, that really have a wonderful intensity about them. And so I think, you know, that's first and foremost what you have to be able to match. You got to be able to match the intensity, especially for them, you know, on the defensive end of the ball. You got to match the physicality. Now, I think for Gonzaga, they have a bit of an advantage in facing that, in the fact that they're just coming off the West Virginia game, which is a different, you know, different style. West Virginia's full court, 94 feet for 40 minutes. South Carolina's a little bit different, but it's the same level of intensity, same level of physicality. So I think, you know, Gonzaga's seen it a little bit already here in the NCAA tournament. But they're going to have to shoot the ball well. You know, South Carolina's probably going to sit back in some form of the zone, you know, unless they extend it into three-quarter, full-court stuff, full-court presses. So, you know, Gonzaga's going to have to adjust to the big football stadium, and they're going to have to knock down shots, you know, similar to what they had to do with Xavier, and then they're going to have to hit the glass. I mean, it's all blocking and tackling, you know. It's just they're going to have to focus on the little things, and then I think one of the things that Gonzaga, you know, has proven – I know they've proven, because I see them all the time, but how well they, what a great team they are defensively. And Coach Few said all along, if the defense travels, then they will have a chance to win games. And the defense has traveled extremely, extremely well this year, and it's going to have to do that one more time into Phoenix.
Former Gonzaga Bulldog Matt Santangelo with us here on the double. Matt, I wish I would have remembered that you were on the radio broadcast for the Bulldogs, because I was up there working for ESPN for the University of Washington Gonzaga matchup in Spokane. Would have liked to say hello, but you know, I was able to be right there behind one of the baskets, and it was amazing to me how fundamentally sound the Bulldogs were. And a lot of it seemed very simple, but the execution is not at all.
Well, I think that's a great point that you picked up on that one, and I know it was probably exponentially exemplified or magnified in that UTEP game. And I think, you know, this one thing, and it comes, you know, from Nigel Williams-Goss, is, you know, he'll tell you straight up, he's like, hey, the coaches don't leave any stones unturned. They prepare us as well or better than anyone in the country. And it's our job, and he says this about the players, it's our job to go out and execute it. And so when you have your most vocal player, your leader on the floor, you know, not trying to play hero ball, not trying to take it upon himself or try to, you know, go against what coach says, but literally being the example of saying, hey, they do it. They gave us the game plan. It's our job to go out and execute it. And I think, you know, in addition to everything else they've done really well this year, they've been able to do that and really, you know, execute the plan without, you know, much or, you know, any slippage from, you know, the chalkboard to the game floor. And so I think, you know, they do the little things. They rebound. They take care of the basketball. They're crafty on offense, and then they have players that can go get shots when, you know, when you got to have an individual play. So they do a lot of things really, really well. And I think people are starting to see it. It was easy to dismiss when it was just the West Coast Conference, but now that they're doing that on the biggest stage in college basketball, you know, I think it's starting to become more evident to everyone else.
You're reading my mind. That was my next lead-in, was going to be, you know, regardless of what people think of the West Coast Conference, the Bulldogs now are putting any of that nonsense to rest and showing and proving that they can play with anybody in the country.
Yeah, and it's not, you know what, it's not news to us. You know, it's not surprising to us. It's more of a national story and kind of a narrative that they've had to overcome. You know, I don't know, honestly, I don't know how much the team uses that as motivation, you know, or to kind of get that chip on your shoulder or play with that, you know, we're going to prove people wrong. I get the sense that maybe that's not as big a deal for this group. This group is really just going out and trying to play the game the right way and execute, you know, whereas in other past teams really try to go out and really use that us against the world as a motivator. But I think for this group, you know, they've been really comfortable in their skin. They've known they have been good for a long, long time. It's not too surprising. And to be able to go out and really, you know, flip the narrative is more for guys like you and I to talk about, because, you know, I just don't see it. And it shows great respect for the West Coast in general, especially with Oregon there as well. And then it goes, and hopefully the conference itself has a little bit more respect, because, you know, St. Mary's is really good this year. And they were able to advance in the tournament and gave Arizona, you know, all that they could handle in that round of 32 games. And so the West Coast Conference is good. It's a good style of basketball, and it's proven that now that you can certainly compete with the best of them from this conference, and certainly from from Gonzaga University.
Now, Matt, with the national spotlight and success of the Gonzaga Bulldogs bringing more attention to Spokane, that has to just go hand over fist and help you guys at Spokane Hoop Fest, as you are also the executive director
yeah,
of Spokane Hoop Fest. And, man, yeah, I don't know how you have time to be on the radio for the Bulldogs, because you're inside of 3 months from the 2017 3-on-3 tournament.
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing that up, because it is hard, man. Hoop Fest is the largest 3-on-3 basketball tournament in the world by leaps and bounds. I mean, we have 6,000-plus teams that will show up, you know, at the end of June, all skill levels from all ages, you know, all walks of life. And it really just goes to show kind of, you know, I guess the bigger comment is this whole Basketball City USA. You know, I mean, there are a few cities that can really compete. I mean, practically on paper compete. You know, they talk about certainly the Mecca in New York, and they talk about Indiana basketball. But, I mean, who can boast this small, tiny Jesuit university who has been a perennial you know, powerhouse. Just because they got to the Final Four this year doesn't take away from the last 20 years of, you know, the body of work that has come out of Gonzaga and Coach Few's tenure. And then you throw on top of it in the community, you have this literally shining example of what a community event can be built around, you know, the game of basketball and for the love of the game of basketball. So it's really kind of a special, you know, unique, rare thing that happens in what is a small university and then, you know, a smaller community and, region of here in Spokane.
For people that have never experienced it, can you put into words the thousands of people that are there spending money at hotels, that are there playing in the tournament? I mean, you've got streets shutting down, and somehow you guys are putting basketball courts all over Spokane.
Well, it is, it is really, really, because you can do the numbers, right? 450 basketball courts, 42 city blocks, literally the downtown of a city gets shut down. We shut down the streets and it becomes Basketball City USA. We set up those courts, those 6,000 teams come in, literally all levels, from incoming third graders to, I think last year we had an 80-year-old play. You know, we had 41 states in the union represented. We had over 4 countries represented in our registration. People come from all over the world, and it's about, we do the math, actually, ironically, Gonzaga University, the School of Business, does economic impact study for us. It says that about 250,000 people come to downtown Spokane on the weekend. 250,000. I mean, literally, you're competing. That might be bigger numbers than the Final Four. It's huge. About a 40 March Madness, those 12 guys on the roster, they're loving it, and we're loving watching them. But for those people that love the game and want to play it and want to be involved in a community event, there's nothing in the world like Spokane Hoop Fest. Everybody get up.
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds. And since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that went away. And I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com. andro400.com.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back here to On the Double with the Double S Express. It has been an interesting and fun show, minus Sean Boyd, who's unavailable tonight. Thanks to David Massey for helping out with the first interview with big-time guest number one tonight. That was Brett Toppy, former center on the Oregon Ducks basketball team. Of course, the Oregon Ducks are elated that their team is in the Final Four as well. The Gonzaga Bulldogs, hashtag United We Zag. Matt Santangelo, guest number two, former Gonzaga Bulldog basketball player, and now does the radio analysis for basketball games. And he is also the executive director for Spokane Hoop Fest. You can follow Matt on Twitter at MSantangelo3. And also Spokane Hoop Fest, simple, at Spokane Hoop Fest. Registration now open for Spokane Hoop Fest. Visit SpokaneHoopFest.net. It's going to be another exciting weekend of basketball with the Final Four on Saturday leading up to the championship Monday night. Could it be? Stop, sit, and think for a second. Could we have a Gonzaga-Oregon final? How amazing would that be for the Pac-12, the WCC, and the entire West Coast? That's what I'm pulling for. And in all honesty, that's what I chose in one of my ESPN brackets. So I've got proof if you want to see it. I've picked two of the Final Four teams, and I'm stoked that I've got a shot at picking the championship correctly. And then from there, a Gonzaga champion. So that would be amazing, as it would an Oregon champion as well. Oregon's been doing great things there at Matthew Knight Arena, and of course all the Duck fans out there. Great for Eugene, great for Portland, great for the entire Northwest. Either way it goes, just hopefully those are the teams in the final, or at least one of them can get there as well. Well, thanks for listening tonight here on The Double. It's been a while since we've been on the air. Great to be back. And hopefully next time we're on, we are the Double S Express and get Sean Boyd back in the saddle. So definitely get set for basketball this weekend. Baseball's coming around the corner too. Spring training almost over. A lot to get to there. Didn't have any time to touch on. The owners voted for the Oakland Raiders to become the Las Vegas Raiders for the 2019 season. I don't know if they still can, but hopefully Oakland can save the day and get something done stadium-wise there and thwart this potential move to Las Vegas. We'll have more on that as we get closer to football season. Thank you once again to David Massey, to Brett Coffey, and Matt Santangelo. That's going to do it tonight for On the Double with the Double S Express. I'm Sean Wally. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.